Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, welcome in. We are in week two of our Advent series, Joy of Every Longing Heart. We are hoping that your Christmas season has started off really well, and thank you again for tuning in to our online message this morning, or whenever you're watching. A couple of announcements three announcements for you this morning. First of all, Senior Adult Potluck is coming December 9th, 12 to 3. It's going to be a great time. There's also going to be a White Elephant gift exchange, so bring a gift worth $5 or more if you'd like to participate in that event, and it'll be a great time for all. Also, just as an aside, we have a Christmas breakfast coming up on December 17th, another food-related event. We like food here at GC NAS, and sign-up is in the foyer, or you can call the church office if you'd like to be a part of helping with the food portion of our Christmas breakfast. That'll be December 17th before service, instead of our community group time that we would normally have. We're going to have breakfast together as a church family to celebrate Christmas. And then following that, on the 24th of December, as always, every year, there is Christmas Eve. And this year, it happens to be a Sunday. And so we have one service for Christmas Eve this year. It'll be at 10:45 a.m. All the windows will be blacked out, and we will have a candlelight Christmas Eve service right here in the sanctuary. It's going to be a great time. You don't want to miss it. Invite your family and your friends, coworkers, anybody you can find. Invite them to come to church that Sunday morning. It's going to be a great time celebrating the birth of Jesus. There will be no community groups that morning. We'll just come to church and celebrate together at 10:45 and be here. You don't want to miss Christmas Eve here at GC NAS this year. All right, well, let's get into the message. As we continue on our Advent journey this week, we are exploring the theme, Joy of Every Longing Heart. And this comes out of the song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, an old hymn about Christmas, about the waiting. And in this series, we are delving deep into the multifaceted beauty of what Christ brings into our lives and into the world as a whole. This week, we're going to explore love through the lens of Psalm 85. As I said last week, we're going to be looking through Psalms through this season. It's a little different than we would normally do on a Christmas or Advent series. But I want us to understand the profound embodiment of God's love and how it intertwines with the longings of the human heart. Because that is what Advent is really about. It's about what God did. Why did he come? And then, as we talked about last week, remembering that he is going to come again. That he is going to return. We are in a second Advent right now as Christians. As I said before, we're going to be in Psalm 85 today, and if you have your Bible, open it with us. Otherwise, it will be on the screen for you. Psalm 85, verses 1 and 2, it says this, Lord, you poured out blessings on your land. You restored the fortunes of Israel. You forgave the guilt of your people. Yes, you covered all their sins. Throughout history, God has shown a steadfast love for his people. You can look at the history of Israel. You can look at the history of the Christian church. God has continually shown his love to his people, the people that call his name. And there are three distinct ways that God has shown, has manifested this love to us. The first is forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. We are all guilty. We are all stained by sin. But as the old song says, we are washed white as snow by Jesus' blood. We have forgiveness. Secondly, his love is manifested in restoration. Because we've been forgiven, we can have right relationship with God. We can be new. Our relationship with Him can be new. God creates in us a new being. We are a new creation. And then third, His love is manifested in His favor. The favor He gives to His people. Now this one may be a little confusing for you, but I want to share just a second about favor. You are a blessed people. Let that sink in for a moment. We are a blessed people. Because of that blessing, we have God's favor. God shows His favor to us over and over and over again. And this is why we worship. This is why we come and sing to Him. This is why we pray to Him. This is why we listen for His voice. Because God shows His favor on His people. As we remember God's unfailing love for Israel, we see the parallels in our own lives. I mean, I know that I have strayed away from God. As I look at Israel and their history and how they turned their back on Him, I can say that I've done that in my life. That there have been times where I have forgotten that God's grace, His providence is on my life. Where I've taken credit for things that don't belong to me. But God has always had His love manifesting in my life. Part of this is we need to recognize how His love has restored and redeemed us. I spent Thanksgiving with my family, my mom and dad, my sister and my brother-in-law. And one of the things that we talked about often over the years is that when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I was a train wreck. I was mad, angry all the time. I'm a different man today, and that's because of God. And we all have that story. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the church or if you came to faith later in life. God has been at work restoring and redeeming you. He is constantly at work within you. This helps us to understand His manifest love. Look at what verse 8 says. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. I'll read that again. This is a great verse. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. You see, God's love speaks to us. And it's often in gentle whispers. And that speaking, that God's love speaking to us, promises peace and favor. Are you listening? You know, I think of the song, the Christmas tune, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I think of that as a pastor. I ask you, my people, my congregation, do you hear what I hear? I hear God saying, I love you. My favor rests on your church, on your families, on you as individuals. In order to hear what God is saying, in order to hear God's love being spoken to you, it requires our attentive ear and our obedient heart. You have to submit to Christ and allow Him to do the transforming work that only He's capable of. Which means you got to stop talking and you got to start walking with Him, behind Him, following Him. Are you being challenged this morning? To choose the path of love is to choose the path of obedience to God's whispers, which means you have to reject foolishness and walk in His way. Too often in our society, even in the church, we try to change this whole logic that Christ gives us here, that God gives us through Psalms. That we don't have to reject the foolish things of this world. That we don't have to walk in His way. All we got to do is just believe. Believe is enough. But as James says, faith without good works is dead. Which means if you don't truly believe, you aren't going to walk in His way. So people who are not walking in His way don't truly believe. That's the converse. It's the truth. If you're going to walk in foolish ways, you are not walking in God's way. Rejecting foolishness and walking in His ways means we have a choice. We have a choice. Obedience to God is not forced by God. But again, it's required to walk in His ways. That means you have to pick up your Bible and do what it says. You have to follow what God asks you to do. You know, sometimes God speaks outside of the Bible to you for your calling, for your mission, your purpose that God has given you. And it is sinful to reject that and say, God, I'm not going to do that when God tells you through His Spirit to go do something. That's rejecting God's word. In the same way that if you read the Bible and you say, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to do that. It doesn't work that way, church. We must be listening and we must be obedient to the Spirit's moving in our life and to God's word. Look at verses 10 and 11. Unfailing love and truth have met together. I love that. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Beautiful poetry. In the advent of Christ, love and righteousness converged. And in the person of Christ, love and righteousness became one. I've heard it said many, many times by different pastors and different church people that God, that Jesus is love, that that is His name. Holiness is His name. Righteousness is His name. There's a convergence there. Jesus' coming signifies the beautiful meeting place where God's love and God's justice kiss. I know it's a weird way to think of it, but the reality is that God, by sending Jesus Christ, sending Himself to die on the cross, and before that to live a life and to do ministry and to love people, to serve people, He showed us the way. This won't be on your screen, but John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. In this day where we have multiculturalism and we have universalism, that every way gets to heaven, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Someone say amen. Jesus is the only way to heaven, to eternal life that is any good. Jesus is the way to righteousness. Jesus is the way to truth. Jesus, as this coming Messiah, embodies the convergence of love and righteousness. He embodies the convergence of love and righteousness. Jesus was fully holy, fully God. He was also fully man. And even though that's hard for us to understand as human beings, for something to be fully human and fully divine simultaneously, Jesus was that. And in the cross, the act of being on the cross, the act of the beating he took before he even went to the cross, shows us his love for us. His overcoming death in the grave itself shows his love for us. Jesus stepped down from heaven to express a love that is both righteous and peace-bringing. There are many times after Jesus returns. So he dies, he's resurrected, and then he comes back. And he hangs out with his friends for a few days. And there are several different times where Jesus, in the Gospels, he says, "Peace be with you." In the church, we say that often, "Peace be with you." And then someone will say, "Also with you." That peace comes from Jesus Christ. It's only possible because of Jesus Christ. True peace is only found in him. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Psalm 85, 12 through 13 says this: "Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings." You could also say, "The Lord pours down his favor." "Our land will yield its beautiful harvest. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps." Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. Here's something that you may or may not know, but it's really important for you to understand this morning. God's love is not arbitrary. God's love is not arbitrary. God's love prepares the way for righteousness. God's love prepares a path for our steps to follow. The two greatest commandments, according to Jesus: love God with every ounce of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor being everyone, right? We talked about that several weeks ago, a few series ago. Our neighbor is everybody. There is no arbitrariness. Even though we're called to love everyone, that doesn't mean that it's arbitrary, that we just do it. It's because Jesus loved us first. When we walk in the pathways of God's love and righteousness, as the psalm says, it will yield a harvest of joy, of peace, and goodness in our lives, which will then extend to the world around us. That if we as Christians, if we as believers in Jesus Christ, if we are living this way, it will bleed over into the world around us, church. The old song from, I think, the 60s, "They'll know we're Christians by our love." Because of who we are. The church has not done a great job of loving people. Let's be honest. And we don't have time to go into all the reasons for that. We don't have all the time to go into the ways we solve all of that. But here is the truth. We can change today. We can be that love today. But in order for that to happen, God's love has to change who we are from the inside out. Are you transformed this morning? Do you reflect the love of God? Do your words and your actions go together? Christmas season is hard for people, some people. But it's also one of the seasons, one of the times of the year where people are more receptive to hearing about Christ than at any other time in the year. And if we as the church can reflect God's love correctly, rightly, who knows what God can do with that in the lives of people around us? As we conclude, in the weeks leading to Christmas, may we walk in the love and righteousness of God, letting His love and His righteousness guide our steps, guide our actions, and our interactions with others. You may be in the store, and somebody may pick up that thing you were looking to get for your kids or your grandkids or your husband or your wife, brother, sister, mom, dad, whatever. And it's the last one on the shelf, and they grabbed it right before you. And you may be tempted to be frustrated, to give them a side eye, to sneer, snarl even, maybe. Maybe this season will be different. We won't be wrapped up in so much of the materialism and consumerism that is Christmas these days. And instead, we may reflect His love and His righteousness. May the junction of love and righteousness and the birth of Christ be reflected in our lives. That's my prayer. Because if we do, we are going to present to the world the embodied love of God. And may our hearts, too, become a meeting place where love and faithfulness converge, giving birth to the joy that each longing heart seeks. As we anticipate celebrating Christ's birth in just a few days, may His love permeate our beings. And may we, in turn, become bearers of His love to a world that, frankly, is in desperate need of it. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, You have called us to be bearers of Your truth, to be bearers of Your love, and to be righteous in Your eyes. You've called us to be ambassadors. Father, let us reflect that well. Let us be what You need us to be. Let us serve in the ways that You need us to serve. And Father, through our actions, through our words, let the world see You. That we would fade away, and it would just be You left. Father, we pray for Greenwood County, the city of Greenwood, surrounding area. We pray that, God, You would have a move of Your Spirit this Advent season. God, that there would be families transformed for Your purposes, that eternal lives would be radically changed because people are encountering You. Father, we pray these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, have a great week. We will see you next week as we discuss joy in our third week of our series, Joy of Every Longing Heart. See you then.